The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you don't believe the Creator exists, he said concerning you, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? So if you don't believe and you're going through life expecting something nice to happen when you die, I suggest you think again. You're going to end up as an ancestor spirit or demon, unable to move around, being carried around on some other human being or animal, or stranded. If you believed at some level, at some stage, but you've never done anything about it, the Almighty has said concerning you, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? So in the same way, if you're a nominal believer, you've believed at some level, at some time, and then just carried on leading your life, and you're expecting something nice to happen when you die, I would also suggest you reconsider, because you could be heading for the outer darkness, which is really, really unpleasant. Father created us to have relationship with him. That's what the purpose of this life is. So today we're going to talk about the global flood that changed the world, part 7. Discussing how the geology and topography of our planet were formed, based on a set of presentations created in 2010, which are on the website. Have a look at the page, Global Flood. All of this in the context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Folks, there's a huge opportunity here to become a friend of the Almighty. Readjust your life, focus on him, and draw close to him. Today we're going to look at part 7 of this series on the global flood that changed the world. An overview, the broadcast looks at the evidence of judgment by the Almighty and challenges you as to whether you're prepared for judgment. It is noted that the real miracle of the flood is that Noah and his family survived a terrible event. Evidence is provided that Sodom and Gomorrah were indeed turned to ash by brimstones burning sulfur from the sky. Evidence is provided of the split rock at Horeb. Evidence is presented that the Ten Commandments were given by the Almighty from the mountain. It is noted that the Ten Commandments were engraved on stone tablets and placed in the Ark of the Covenant. It is reported that the Ark of the Covenant and the Ten Commandments were found in 1982 by Ron Wyatt. It is concluded that these events are evidence of judgment and that therefore further judgment can be expected. The alternative outcomes when we die are presented. It is concluded that there was a flood and there will be another judgment. You will be challenged with regard to your relationship with the Almighty, and some suggested prayers are offered. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I practiced as a strategic management consultant in South Africa for about 25 years, and I'm currently a business executive in the UK. I have over 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. Tonight there are no questions from the last broadcast. The last week's broadcast and this one were pre-recorded because I was not going to be able to get access to my studio. So apologies if you ask questions after last week's broadcast, they will be dealt with next week. Thanks so much. So we're looking at the global flood that changed the world. And just a foreword, this broadcast is the culmination of a number of years of observation and research, coupled to formal training in geography, geology, science, mathematics, and most importantly, engineering. The broadcast seeks to make visible key aspects of the topography and geology of our planet that are obvious and in plain sight once one is sensitized to them. These observations evidence that the entire planet was submerged underwater at some time in the past, and that associated with this, the surface of the Earth was radically transformed and subject to massive tectonic, that is, ground movement events. All of this took place around 4,500 years ago, such that there are very few archaeological finds that are older than this, and the entire surface of the Earth dates back to this event. Theories of much older dates for the formation of the surface of the Earth and older datings of archaeological findings are shown to be flawed and false. So we're moving on to chapter 10 of this series. We're looking at signs of judgment, and we're saying that the real miracle is that a man and his family survived. We've already had some discussion on this on the last program, and I'm picking up where I left off. So another situation, the Red Sea crossing site, the drowning of an army in the Red Sea, which is described in the book of Exodus in the book called the Bible. The crossing site has been found where Exodus says it will be found. Remains of chariots, horse and human skeletons and other artifacts have been found at this location. It is called Nuweiba, N-U-W-E-I-B-A, and it's in the Gulf of Aqaba, the right-hand branch of the Red Sea, not the left-hand branch where people tend to look. And it's exactly where Exodus positions the crossing site. Exodus says this was a judgment on Egypt, so this too is evidence of judgment by the Almighty. Folks, one of the ironies of the world we live in today is that these dramatic findings, such as the Red Sea crossing site, are hardly publicized, hardly known about. They've been found by people who are using their own resources, their own finances. They've publicized them as best they can, but they're not first and foremost communicators, they're researchers, they're analysts, they're archaeologists. And the result is that this information is not widely known. If you search on the internet with Google or one of the other search engines, you will find references, but you will have to do some digging. The importance of this is not really so much about proving that the Bible is some miraculous document. It simply evidences that the Bible is a reasonably accurate historical account of the events that we're talking about. It doesn't have to be the Word of God. It doesn't have to be without error. It's perfectly acceptable for the Bible just to be a collection of historical accounts through time that have been assembled by various people at various times in history as a record of people's interactions with the Almighty Creator. So don't get stuck on the Bible's the Word of God, because it's not. Don't get stuck on it's without error, because it's not. Don't get stuck on it's a handbook for life, because it's not. Most of it's history. It's not a handbook. It contains fragments of useful information of an inspired nature, and it contains fragments of direct quotes from the Almighty. But the vast majority is simply fairly accurate historical account, no more than that. Moving on, another judgment, Sodom and Gomorrah turned to ash by brimstone, burning sulfur falling from the sky, the book of Genesis. Brimstone, or burning sulfur from the sky, balls of sulfur. Genesis 19, verses 23 and 24 reports the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then you are the eternally self-existing. You may name as the Lord, but that's an incorrect name. Rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. From you are the eternally self-existing. You may name, as it says, the Lord, but the Lord is incorrect. It's you are the eternally self-existing. Out of the heavens. The cities reduced to ash have been found in the exact locations reported by Genesis. There's an image of a ball of sulfur on the website in the presentation. I should mention that if you find this series of interest, there's a set of videos on YouTube which are all accessible off the website, together with copies of the PowerPoint presentations in SlideShare, also available on the website. Look at proof of global flood towards the bottom of the menu on the website. Folks, it's so easy to discount these things. It's so easy to say, well, this is just fanciful, it's tradition, etc. But the facts are there. You've just got to go to the places that are described and open your eyes and look. Jonathan Gray has reported in detail. Ron White has reported in detail. These places genuinely do exist. They're there for you to go and visit. They're there for you to go and read about. And they're evidence of judgment. They're evidence of people whose sin reached a point where some human being prayed for the Almighty to judge those people, and he did. Another case, Split Rock at Horeb and the fire-burned mountain described in Exodus. There's a split rock with erosion channels as described in Exodus 17 verses 5 to 7. Where Moses struck the rock and it split open and water poured out. And then there's the fire-blackened mountaintop, so-called Mount Sinai, as described in Exodus 19, 16, verses 16 to 20, which again evidence that this part of Exodus is a reliable historical account. And if we look at Exodus 19, verses 16 to 20, it says, "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with the Almighty," you might know them as God, "and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because Yah, the eternally self-existing, descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the Almighty answered him by voice. Then Yah, the eternally self-existing, came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and Yah, the eternally self-existing, called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up." Again, one can dismiss this as fairy tales or fancy or, you know, strange traditions, but the fact is that there is a mountain in the Sinai Desert in Saudi Arabia which has been burnt with fire, and it's there for you to see. It's not that easy to get to because it is in Saudi Arabia. It's not in the Sinai Peninsula. That's a mistaken definition, but it is there. At this point, the Almighty is reported to have given 10 commandments or laws to Moses for the people, and to have spoken out those commandments audibly to the assembly of some millions of people. In Exodus 20:1-17, we read, "And the Almighty spoke all these words, saying, I am Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other mighty ones," that's gods, "before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them." You shall not take the name of Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, your Mighty One, in vain. For Yah the Eternally Self-Existing will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Number 4. Remember the Sabbath day, Saturday, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, your Mighty One. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. So we see 4 commandments here which define our relationship with the Almighty. No other mighty ones, no other gods apart from him, no idols. So no other mighty ones, that includes not worshipping Jesus or Yeshua. No idols, it includes not worshipping the Bible. Not take the name of Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, in vain. That means you don't have a yahoo.com email address, for example. You don't say Yah for yes. Remember the Sabbath day, Saturday. Keep it holy. The Sabbath is Saturday, not Sunday. Always has been, always will be. Continuing. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land in which Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, your Mighty One, is giving you. You shall not murder. 7. You shall not commit adultery. 8. You shall not steal. 9. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. 10. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. This is the only time in recorded history that the Almighty Creator has appeared in a manifest form and spoken to millions of people. Accordingly, what was said there should be viewed as extremely important. The 10 laws or commandments are therefore the most important laws ever given. The 6 that I've just read out now on your parents: no murder, no adultery, no stealing, no lying, no coveting, no lusting, are all about our relationship with other people. The first 4 are about loving Yah, loving the Creator. The next 6 are about loving our neighbor as ourselves. Important to understand that if you curse your father and mother, you will surely die. Important to recognize that abortive contraceptives, be they chemical or be they physical, cause a fertilized egg not to implant in the womb, and that's murder. Important to understand that adultery is basically sex between men, whether it's via another woman or directly. It corrupts the bloodline. Not stealing is fairly self-evident. But includes fraud, etc. So we see the 10 commandments were engraved on stone tablets. In Exodus 24:12, it says, "Then Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone, and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them.'" The Almighty engraved the commandments into tablets of stone. They're engraved in stone, so they're enduring and will not pass away. It's important to understand this, folks, that the symbolism of the commandments being engraved in stone means that they will not change. So anybody who tells you that Jesus changed the commandments, that the Pope changed the commandments, that whoever changed the commandments is not accurate. It's just not the truth. Those commandments will never change. The interpretation of the commandments will never change. There is quite a lot of material on the website explaining each of the commandments and what's required to comply with them. And just to understand that they're not going to change. So I'm afraid that where today there are all sorts of laws, etc., that have been made which deviate from these commandments, the people who made those laws are in trouble with the Almighty. So the tablets of stone were placed in the ark or container of the covenant. Deuteronomy 10, verses 3 to 5 says, So I, Moses, made an ark of acacia wood, hewed two tablets of stone like the first, and went up the mountain, having the two tablets in my hand. And he wrote on the tablets according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which Yah, the eternally self-existing, had spoken to you in the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And Yah, the eternally self-existing, gave them to me. Then I turned and came down from the mountain and put the tablets in the ark which I had made. And there they are, just as Yah, the eternally self-existing, commanded me. In 1 Kings verses 8, chapter 8, verse 9, we read, nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb. When Yah, the eternally self-existing, made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. The Ark of the Covenant, the container of the terms of the covenant, the ten laws, commandments, which form the basis of judgment. Strictly speaking, if you break the covenant, you die. But the Ark went missing around 587 BC, at the time of the exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So, if you study the books of the so-called Old Testament, of the so-called Bible, the Ark of the Covenant crops up in a number of occasions. There are a number of instances where people who touch it or look at it are struck dead. There's a group of people who take it captive and they suffer all sorts of illness and disease until they return it to the Israelite people. So very, very powerful if you are willing to consider the possibility. The Ark of the Covenant was found in 1982, that's 37 years ago, by Ron Wyatt. And I suggest for your consideration that that is also evidence of coming judgment. The Ark of the Covenant was found in 1982 by Ron Wyatt, 37 years ago, hidden in an excavated cave outside the walls of Jerusalem, under a hill called Skull Hill, because it looks like a skull, in Matthew, described in Matthew 27:33, Mark 15:22, and John 19:17. The ark was found 6 meters under an execution site that bears close resemblance to that described in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, with an earthquake crack, Matthew 27:54, that cuts through the middle stake or crosshole. Blood with only the female chromosome has flowed down the crack onto the mercy seat of the ark. This is huge if you get the real significance that Yeshua, Jesus, was put to death on a stake, not a cross, at this location. As he died, an earthquake rent the rocks. A soldier took a spear and pierced his side, pierced his heart. Blood and water flowed down the stake, down the earthquake crack, down a crack on the stone slab over the Ark of the Covenant, and onto the mercy seat. That is the only way that Yeshua could become a high priest. It's the only way that he could offer an offering of atonement. It's the only way that the prophetic statements that had been made concerning Yeshua could come to pass, that he could become King of Kings and Lord of Lords and our deliverer. There is close correlation with the four historical accounts that deal with the death of a prophet commonly known as Jesus Christ, whose actual name was Yeshua, the Anointed of Yah, with Yeshua meaning Yah, the Almighty, is salvation, and Christ meaning anointed with the Spirit of Yah. Anointing refers to the presence of the Spirit of Yah on a human being, metaphorically compared with smearing with anointing oil, which is a common practice in hot countries of the Middle East to respond to the hot, dry air. This man died on a stake, in other words, a tree trunk, not a cross. The cross is a demonic sign, and ankh, which is a pornographic symbol. Once one studies this, it becomes apparent that matters had to be this way. Blood on the mercy seat of the ark was necessary for any offering, or sacrifice for atonement to have validity, Leviticus 16. It was necessary for a new covenant. It was necessary for a new way of responding to the threat of coming judgment. Videos and on DVD, books and other material are available from graysales@bigpond.com and other sources. I've also given you the reference previously to Jonathan Gray's website, www.beforeus.com, and also archaeologyanswers.com. This material is well worth getting hold of. These finds require careful consideration in the context of any discussion about where we're going in terms of our lives and in terms of coming judgment. Folks, it's so significant that the Ark of the Covenant still exists. It's been preserved. It's a warning for us, folks. So, looking at signs of judgment, we have strong proof of the flood. We have the ship of Noah, clear evidence that one man was warned and assisted to survive. We have the fire-blackened mountain, evidencing that the Almighty did speak to the assembled millions. We have the execution site with the earthquake crack, important corroboration of relevant passages. We have the Ark of the Covenant with blood on the mercy seat, which is vital for a new covenant, a new offering for sin, a new priesthood. We have the tablets of stone with the 10 laws, the 10 commandments engraved in them, vital as a basis for future judgment. All in all, a basis for careful introspection and self-examination. Folks, you can dismiss all of this as weird traditions and strange ideas and having no substance in truth, or you can go out and research this. If you really want to, you can go to these various sites and visit them, some of them easier to access than others. The evidence is there. Visit my website, the flood pages, visit, search on the internet for these different items of information. You will find it, you will find photographs, you will find detailed accounts. These things really are real, folks, and they really tell us that there have been times when the Almighty has judged people in dramatic ways. There is another judgment to come. That's it. Consider these points also in terms of the pivot point for the flood presentation, the small mountain at Northcliff in Johannesburg, South Africa. Evidence of massive tectonic upheaval, massive depths of water, massive water action laying down sediments, massive dome upthrusting the earth's surface, massive water action cutting the top off the dome, massive water action cutting the valleys into the dome. In fact, almost anywhere you go on earth, you are surrounded by signs of judgment. Are you going to be prepared like Noah? Or are you going to be caught unprepared? Folks, I really encourage you to think about what I've shared with you, to pray about what I've shared with you. If you do not have a significant relationship with the Almighty Creator, now's the time to start seeking that relationship. Have a look at what I'm talking about. Look at the videos. Look at the SlideShare slide presentations. There are lots of photographs. There are lots of graphs and other reference material to evidence that this is really the truth. It really is. These things really do exist. If you ignore what I'm saying, you will die one of these days. It's just the way it is. And you will be bitterly disappointed with what happens immediately after you die. You don't want to be in that place. It's worth seeking a deep relationship with Father. The rewards are great. You will get a high throne in heaven for eternity with great prestige, great authority. Otherwise, you could end up in a pretty ugly situation. So you may ask, is there another judgment, or is this all history and no need to worry? In terms of my goal with this series, the key question for you to consider is whether there's another judgment in which you will participate, or can you safely ignore all this as being purely of historical and therefore academic interest? There are various passages in the compendium of writings known as the Bible that point to judgment to come. For example, Revelation 20 verses 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the Almighty, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21 verses 5 to 8. And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his mighty one, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." There are other verses which also speak of judgment. There are some alternatives when we die. When we die, fundamentally what happens is as follows. If when you die you're a believer in the Almighty Creator, you're immediately brought before the judgment seat of the Almighty and judged. In this process, you're shown all your unconfessed sin and also put in touch with other believers that you've sinned against so that you can address your error. You are then sent to the place of correction known as hell, where you are tormented for all your unconfessed sins. Sins that you have confessed is washed away by the terms of the covenant. See the section on hell on my website. Look on the index for hell. Once you've paid the price for your unconfessed sin, you return to heaven for eternity. If you die as an unbeliever, you're taken to the lake of fire to be shown your fate if Satan loses the contest. See Real Contest on the website. You're then returned to your corpse, where you may remain indefinitely, or you may be collected up by a human Satan servant and put to use in the service of Satan. At the end of the 7,000 years of man on earth, if Satan wins the contest, you will remain on earth in the service of Satan without transport. If Satan loses the contest, Satan, together with all his servants, messengers, or angels, demons, human spirits, and living human servants, will be cast into the lake of fire to be utterly destroyed and obliterated. So there you have it, folks. You can, a bit of elaboration, if you are just a nominal believer and you've made no effort to serve the Almighty, you'll end up in the outer darkness, cold, dark, really horrible place, weeping and wailing of gnashing of teeth. If you, on the other hand, have really made an effort to serve Father and built a relationship with him, you may sit on a high throne with great glory. It's up to you. The choice is yours. The series has presented convincing evidence that the Almighty exists, that there was a flood, and that one man and his family survived the flood. Consider the precision required to direct the ice object to be the right size to strike the earth and flood it, but with an impact that still allowed Noah and his family to survive. It is now up to you to decide whether, one, you believe and go all out to serve the Almighty and have a deep personal relationship with him, seeking to become a friend and to sit on a high throne for eternity. See the page Creator Desires Deep Relationship on the website. Or you believe but make no material effort to serve the Almighty and so end up in the outer darkness, the trash heap of heaven, for those who pay no attention to the Almighty. Or three, You do not believe and you do whatever you consider appropriate in your service of Satan. If you have never considered the possibility of a judgment in which you will participate, the last few sections are potentially highly challenging. If you claim to believe in some way and have not realized that you face judgment, the same comment applies. If you've known there is a judgment and that you will participate, but have not realized that you can still face outer darkness or a high throne, or anything in between, the same applies. Ultimately, there is nothing more important than where you will spend eternity. I hope that this presentation has challenged you on this. Important to understand, folks, if you die as an unbeliever, you just become an ancestor spirit, a demon. You can't move around. You have to be attached to a human being or an animal if you want to get somewhere, or carried by a satanic messenger, satanic angel. It's not a nice place to end up, I assure you. So in conclusion, there was a global flood. There is a creator. There will be a day when you will be judged. There is a lake of fire. And there is a place of beauty with thrones for eternity and great glory. And we have a choice about how we live our lives. I leave you to reflect on your beliefs and see if they fall into the same category as believing in steady state conditions on Earth for millions or billions of years in an unstable universe. Folks, I would like to believe that if you've listened to this entire series on the global flood, you will realize that there was a cataclysmic, dramatic event that totally destroyed and mashed up the surface of the Earth. That you will have realized that this all took place quite recently, less than 4,500 years ago. And now I'm hoping that you will realize that this took place as a judgment for the sin of people. And I hope you're starting to realize that there is a further judgment in which you will participate. Whether you like it or not, you are going to be judged in due course after you die. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So where are you in your relationship with Father Yah? Do you realize it is possible for you to become the closest to Father of any human being alive today? Here's a prayer of repentance if you believe but are not prepared for judgment. Father, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. I now recognize that there is a judgment to come and that I will participate in it. I am not prepared. I ask you to forgive my error and forgive my sin in the name of Yeshua. I ask you to lead me and guide me to prepare myself in order that I may overcome in the days ahead, be found a good and faithful servant, an overcomer and a friend on the day of my judgment. Amen. Folks, there's much more that you could pray, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. There's a series of pages under the label prayer on the website where you will find literally dozens of powerful prayers for guidance by the Almighty. I strongly recommend that you go and look at those pages, pray those prayers on a daily basis. Folks, there is such grandeur, there is such acclaim, there is such esteem available to you. Father created us to be his friends. He was lonely. He created this whole universe. He created this entire solar system. He created this entire planet Earth. He created all the different animals and plants and everything on this Earth with one objective in mind: to have friends, people that he could share with on a daily basis, people who would look after his interests, people who would experiment and grow with him and learn with him. That is there. It's available for you right now if you will pray the appropriate prayers and do the necessary work. There's an article on the website, Seven Components of Drawing Close to the Almighty, if you're taking this seriously, go and download that and start applying it. If you've not previously believed, here is a prayer. Father, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. I recognize that I've not previously believed in your existence, but that you do indeed exist. I ask you to forgive my sins in the name of Yeshua and to give me another chance. I ask you to guide me in all things and particularly to help me to find the material I need to read, hear, etc., and to meet people who can help me. Help me to overcome to the end that I may be found a good and faithful servant, an overcomer and a friend. I ask you to fill me with your spirit and to guide me in every possible way. Amen. Folks, if you've never believed and you've suddenly realized there's just so much evidence of the existence of the Creator that you realize you don't want to spend, you don't want to die and become an ancestor spirit or demon, that you actually do want to be in heaven. Now's the time to turn around. Now's the time to repent. Now's the time to ask Father to save you. It is a journey. Refer you again to the article that I mentioned a few minutes ago, Seven Components of Drawing Close to the Almighty. Get that article, read it, apply it. It's about 70 pages. And put into practice everything that's contained in that. There is so much you can do to move ahead quickly. It took me many, many years to get where I am in my relationship with Father now. It doesn't have to take you that long. I've gone ahead. I've found the path. I've discovered the prayers. I've discovered the fasts. I've discovered the rituals, the practices, the processes. I encourage you now to step out and do it. Some other useful points to pray. Father, please bring the people you want into my life and take the people you do not want in my life out. Father, open the eyes of my understanding to see what you want me to see and close my eyes to what you do not want me to see. Father, open my ears to hear what you want me to hear and close my ears to do what you do not want me to do. And close my ears to what you do not want me to hear. Help me to speak only what you want me to speak and refrain from saying those things that are not appropriate or not pleasing to you. Lead me in every possible way and teach me to be led by your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit and let the fire of your Spirit burn out all in my life that is not pleasing to you. Speak to me in whatever way I can hear you, through books, CDs, DVDs, the internet, email, radio, TV, through people I meet or in any other way I'm able to hear you. Help me to be sensitive to your leading and help me to know you more day by day. Show me the level of my present deception and how to correct it. Amen. There are so many other prayers. Father can do nothing in your life except you give him permission to act in your life. There's so much misunderstanding here because of the contest, as I discussed a few weeks ago. Because of the contest, Father can do nothing in your life unless you first ask him to act. That's why the prayers on the website, the prayers that we've just gone through, are so, so important. Other prayers, Father, I thank you that your messengers encamp around me to protect me, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, that every tongue that rises against me in unrighteous judgment will be refuted. Father, bless me indeed. Help me to grow in relationship with you. Teach me your ways. Grant me humility, harmony, imunah, faith. Bless me in terms of finances, in terms of every aspect of my life. There's so much that you can pray and give Father a detailed right to move in your life. I really hope that this series and even this message today has challenged you. it really is so that you have the opportunity to chart a course that will take you to any number of different destinations spiritually. It is also so that the way that people are living their lives, the way that the church is teaching, folks, if you're an unbeliever, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but the Almighty is totally disinterested in you. He's only interested in you from the point of view of if you believe. Apart from that, you're absolutely irrelevant to him. His focus is on the people who believe. And if you're a believer and you're doing nothing, then he's not really interested in you either. He's interested in the people who care about him, the people who want to know him more deeply. And if you stop and think about it, why should it be any other way? What the world is teaching, what the church is teaching, folks, is it's nonsense. So to wrap up, on the website, there are five key documents which are really important references. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, near the bottom of the menu. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator, near the bottom of the menu. Recommended worship, near the bottom of the menu. These are songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, at the top of the menu. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? Near the bottom of the menu. All of these available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom of the radio, on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, there's over 1,000 pages on the website. Printed, it's over 9,000 A4 pages. It's a huge amount of knowledge there. Make it much easier for you to progress with Father than it was for me. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. In saying this, I want to stress, Father wants to become your friend. He wants you to become his friend. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are or how poor you are. It doesn't matter how educated you are or not educated you are. It doesn't matter your race, your color, your creed, your nation, your tribe. He wants to be the friend of every human being on the planet. Right now, there are almost no people who are his friends. He's lonely. He wants to draw close to you. He wants you to draw close to him. Don't let anything that any other human being has ever said to you let you think that you cannot become his friend. Even if right now you're an out-and-out Satanist, you've committed innumerable murders, you've eaten human flesh, you've drunk human blood, you can still repent, turn around, and become Father's friend. So I encourage you, contact me if you need help, if you want advice. Thank you so much. Good night. Father.